Welcome to the Future of Supply Chain, where each episode we'll sit down with entrepreneurs, investors, and industry veterans to discuss innovation, technology, and the most exciting opportunities in trucking and logistics as we build the future of supply chain together. Be sure to head over to podcast.dynamo.vc to keep up to date with our latest content or subscribe on the podcast platform of your choice. Now, let's get into the show. Here's our host, Santosh Sankar.
Hey, ladies and gents, welcome back to the Future Supply Chain Podcast. I'm your host, Santosh Sankar, and joining me today is Ryan Yost, VP and GM of the Printer Solutions Division at Avery Dennison. Welcome, Ryan.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Thanks, Santosh.
Yeah, great to have you on. And like I asked all of our guests, I'd love to hear how you got into this world of RFID and supply chain tracking.
Let me start by talking about how I got into supply chain. Probably tells you a little bit about myself, and then I'll also talk about my introduction into RFID. But first, in the world of supply chain was pretty nebulous 20 plus years ago when I got into it, and I really do like nebulous. So naturally, a pretty curious individual, and I happened to be at a university that was one of three schools that offered supply chain as a degree, and at the time they were touting 100% job placement. So. Sounded like the place to be. It was nebulous and there was jobs to be had. So I ended up in supply chain from that perspective. And then as supply chains morph, you know, how did I get into RFID? I think those in supply chain, and I'm sure many of your listeners can relate to this, is we typically don't see things in silos. So for 20 plus years, I've been thinking about supply chains and the linkages. And RFID was just the technology that facilitated visibility across supply chain. So have always been curious around how information can be exchanged between parties to make supply chains more competitive. So it's a little bit of how I got into supply chain and then my interest in RFID as a technology.
So kind of shifting a little bit to Avery Dennison, you know, that's a brand I grew up with. I remember, you know, my dad buying a lot of the consumer products, but there's also a substantial commercial side of the business that you lead. Would love to learn more about that.
Sure. So I'll start by talking what Avery Dennison doesn't do, because sometimes there's always some confusion. So the part of the business that you grew up with, the Avery Dennison, where you would go into your local retailer and buy binders and highlighters for either yourself or your children, that business was sold seven plus years ago. So you will still find the Avery brand on binders and highlighters, but it's no longer owned by Avery Dennison. So there's a fun fact for listeners. So what is Avery Dennison then? So at the end of the day, we're a material science company. So we have a large portion of our business in labels, but really what we are is an identity business. So putting physical identities and digital identities, more and more digital identities onto products to either create a brand image or allow products to move, you know, more seamlessly through the supply chain. And just to help, I'll give a couple examples so it's less abstract and maybe helps the listeners of saying, I didn't know Avery Dennison did that. So I think the first for the soccer fans or football fans that are listeners, we're the decorator for all the Premier League jerseys. So everything you see on the outside of a Premier League jersey is a product offered by Avery Dennison. So that's where I talk about we put identities on product. That's all about branding on garments. Same as if you're a golf fan and you're wearing a golf polo, the Nike swoosh or the Under Armour logo or the Adidas or Puma, most likely that's also an Avery Dennison product that's been put on that performance fabric. The beautiful label on your favorite wine is most likely an Avery product. And as simple as the routing label that's getting products to your house, that's an Avery Dennison product. So specifically the business I'm responsible for, and we'll weave that in some of the discussions, is anything to do in the food market. So we're providing products that put pricing information. So if you think, again, identities, both physical and digital, it's putting pricing information on product, expire information on product, digital identities on products. So to support inventory visibility as more grocers look to service needs online. And then in the fulfillment space, it's shipping labels, routing labels, SKU labels. Again, more of those products are having a digital element to facilitate and creating velocity to get product through the supply chain. So that's a little bit about who Avery Dennison is in terms of a branding and information company, and then specifically the role that I play inside of food and fulfillment.
That's awesome. So kind of digging in here, I really want to hone in on the topic of RFID. And I think across our listener base, it would be fair to assume that there's familiarity, but I'd love to just start off with a primer and get into the history of the technology and supply chain, because it's been around for a while. The railroads adopted in the 90s. Walmart has been a classic case study from the early 2000s. We'd love to get the Ryan Yost take on it all.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I looked up the first RFID patent actually was in 1973. So it kind of speaks to how long it's been around. In 1973, for those listeners that were in this industry, it's about the same time the barcode technology started to really gain traction and have mass adoption. So I think it was at the same time around, how do you get information on product and allow it to in the easiest way possible to see that product, to make certain decisions of how to move it through a supply chain. So RFID has been around since 1973. I think always the thing has been the problems in the supply chain are not so dissimilar to what they were, you know, in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. I think the e-commerce is adding complexity, but so it's like supply chain visibility has always been a challenge in inventory accuracy. I think the RFID technology has been limited in adoption predominantly because of price, right? You needed a return on the investment. So while there was interest in the technology in the 90s when Walmart first started looking at it, then again in the early 2000s, a lot of individuals were watching to say it needs mass adoption to drive down prices. So it used to be around 50 cents for an inlay, maybe even up to a dollar, but in my time from 50 cents, and now we're, you know, average selling price is getting closer to 5 cents. So you could, I think that speaks to the adoption curve that's happening. And I think as I look back just over the last 12 months, more than 30 billion RFID units have been produced. So it used to be, you know, we went from a billion a year to 5 billion a year to 10 billion a year. And so they, over just looking back 12 months, it'll be more than 30 billion units produced, with industry growth rates of north of 20% over the last 3 to 4 years. So I think as a technology, it's been around since clearly the early 80s and the 90s, it actually started having a strong use case because it started creating an ROI over the last 5 or 6 years.
And you know, are there certain environments or industry types that are best suited for adopting RFID today?
Yeah, I would say we see adoption happening across all industries. I think there's a couple themes that we see. And I think the first is where industries or participants in an industry have clarity around the challenges of lack of inventory visibility. So where they can say, here's where there's a challenge. If I had more inventory visibility, I could do these other things. And we see those either industries like apparel, we're seeing mass adoption, but we're also seeing adoption in food and pharmaceutical and automotive. So we also see elements of others adopting, but it's typically industry leaders looking at, if I had inventory visibility, what else could I do? And we see those are the areas that that we're seeing more adoption start to happen.
And I guess with that, you mentioned this really interesting evolution of RFID. It's actually a fairly old or mature technology, but only in the last 15 years or so has it really come of age. And I'd be curious, you know, are there key features that have been developed in a broader RFID platform? Are there things that, you know, a buyer now can understand will come with an RFID purchase that perhaps wasn't existent 25, 30 years ago?
Yeah, I'll hit on a couple. I think the number one, and I hit it before, is cost, right? The price points have come down, so you could start to generate an ROI. It was not what the technology didn't necessarily work before at this price. Did it generate enough return, and then that it made, you know, it was a good investment. But I think the other thing that's really accelerated is quality. So the ROI for most RFID engagements is based around getting 99.7 or 99.9 visibility of the products across the supply chain. So I think quality being readability of distance, of being able to read it from 20, 30, 40 feet away, and not having duplicates. Those, I think, two areas are becoming almost table stakes in the RFID solution. solution that you have to have high quality tags that you can trust that you're going to get good readability and no duplicates, so you can get the returns of having 99.9%+ visibility. I think the other thing in terms of the maturity is RFID is becoming a true solution. So in that you have an inlay, a label, reader, software, they all must work together. So while I think the cost of the label started coming down, there were still challenges either on fixed reading infrastructure or software. So I think we've seen progress across all of those, so you can really implement it across the supply chain. And then I would say the final piece is the ability to adopt across the supply chain. There were elements in the past where it makes sense, but I could really use this as a retail, but I need this to be applied at source. How will it be applied at source without driving significant cost of actually how the label's being applied to the product, how that digital to physical identity is being created? So I think the features for me that have allowed the market to accelerate has been quality, the evolution of having a full solution of all three elements of the label, the reader, and the software, and then the final piece of actually being able to activate it across the supply chain.
And, you know, I'm going to come back to the questions and concepts around ROI, but I think our listeners would say the obvious benefit using RFID is improved visibility. But I know you have a framework here that you actually expand on that. Would love to kind of unpackage that, if you would.
Absolutely. Almost all things start with visibility, and then you say, how do I use that visibility? So now that I have visibility of the goods across my supply chain, what do I do with it? So I think the first example, and then I'll kind of play on that, is, and it's a practical one that we're seeing play out every single day in apparel retail with omnichannel, with the number of consumers buying online. So you're a retailer, you take either online or physical, you take an order online. With the use of RFID technology today and having 100% visibility of where your products are, you can quickly work through, and there's obviously a software logic out there that does this for you, but you can quickly work through. I just took an order from Santosh. He's interested in a blue large shirt, and here's where he lives. With RFID kind of being the enabler, I can now look and say, do I ship it from my store? Do I ship it from my DC? Do I ship it directly from my vendor or third-party warehouse? Do I have a local wholesaler that may already have it sitting near the customer, where my customer is sitting? And I can quickly make that decision around how I want to fulfill that order better than I ever could before. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the role of, hey, it's not just I have visibility, it's how can I leverage? And I think that's how retail apparel is using it today, is optimizing how I fulfill orders. So I think that's one around the critical piece around once you have visibility, that's kind of a retail apparel example. I think the other thing that visibility can do is it creates velocity, and kind of what does that specifically mean in terms of velocity being speed. So we looked at it a couple different examples. If you just think about the number of products moving, both pallets and parcels today, you have trucks coming in and receiving, and you have warehouse workers taking stuff off trucks, putting it away, and then building it for shipping. We're seeing warehouses use RFID today, and something that they had to make a choice as a DC operator. When I had all my trucks come in the morning, I could really scan the pack list and then scan each pallet to ensure I received what was on the bill of lading. Mm-hmm. That was a traditional way of doing it. We definitely know some of our customers would say, I don't always have the time for that. So sometimes I'll do a quick look. It said it's supposed to have 37 pallets. I don't know if they're the right 37, but I counted 37. I'm just going to do a bulk receipt in. So the one thing with RFID is now it's coming through a dock door portal, RFID labeled. The receipt is actually 100% accurate of what you've gotten, and it's in seconds or minutes. So we're seeing a substantial amount of momentum as more of the supply chain was built around moving pallets through the supply chain. Now you start going through parcels, and it's really important around the parcels that are on that pallet. What do I really have? Because I'm going to start to fulfill orders from it. So I think there's one where having visibility is creating velocity of speed of just moving products through. And then the other thing is not just speed, about getting more through your warehouse. So that visibility, the example that I would give is We've got multiple customers now using it where they've tagged not just the product, you've tagged the forklift, you've tagged the product, and you have a system that lets you know what's in inventory. So as you're doing the events, you're optimizing based on where the truck is, where the product is, and where the forklift is. I am giving instructions through a software to say, I want you to pick in this specific order to maximize the time. And I know you said we'll come back to the ROI, but in this area, we're seeing more than 5% more just get out on a load. So before, and I think in today's environment where trucking capacity is so critical,
yep,
we're seeing 5% just get more. You're able to load 5% more in the truck because you have live visibility of what you're putting on, and you're doing it 15% faster.
Mm-hmm.
So kind That's of in this huge. Area of load optimization. So now that I have visibility of where not just my product is, where my forklifts are and what trailer and what needs to go at what time, I've been able to optimize all that to just do things both faster and ultimately getting more capacity through my existing DC.
And you know, the one thing you are also alluding to is because RFID almost provides this atomic unit of data, this data gets passed between different parties, but also different systems. Is that integration capability important these days as people consider deploying an RFID package?
It absolutely is. And I think the wonderful thing that's happening within the software space is these things called APIs, right? Where it used to be, oh, the integration, I have these packets of data. How do I digest them into my system? And I think that was my comment before. If I look at the RFID solution of seeing it's not just the RFID labels and not just the hardware, the evolution of the software to be able to make these modular installs happen much faster than they've ever been able to happen. So absolutely the ability to give and get information and digest it to use something has always been critical. And software has advanced to the point where that is typically no longer the long pole in the tent, if you will. We're able to quickly work between systems to both give and get information to help decisions be made.
Yep, yep. That certainly makes sense. And, you know, as a customer's considering a deployment, are there other things they need to be mindful of? Infrastructure, tags?
I think, and you'll always hear the common theme from me is even if a customer comes to us, but general and opens the settings, they'll talk about, I'm thinking about deploying RFID. And our first always question back is, hey, can we walk through what problem you're having first? Because RFID is a type of technology that can solve certain problems, but RFID deployments, for the sake of RFID deployments, can be, as you would imagine, and I'm sure your listeners understand, quite challenging. So we've definitely seen our fair share of individuals who have read something about RFID and who want to explore RFID. We do think there's a way to do that, but we've started with, there are real problems in your business today. Let's start with solving a problem. And we have, through our experience in the markets we participated, could typically direct them to, these are the areas that we've already proven the RFID technology can have a solid ROI. So instead of thinking about, let me learn about RFID technology, let's pick a problem that you're having, deploy RFID technology. So you can kind of kill two birds with one stone, that I've got a problem, I've solved it with RFID, and I've also learned the role of RFID could have in other categories. So our number one consideration is always, let's be really clear on the problem that you're trying to solve and make sure the technology is the right technology.
Sure, sure. That makes a ton of sense. So booking back to ROI has been a theme since the start of the episode. Is there a particular framework that you advocate? So if RFID is the right solution to solve a certain problem, how do you walk somebody through how they should think about profitability or return on that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I would say our best practice is we try to work on scope. So the ROI, the return of the ROI is really focused on one, and maybe worst case, two things having to happen for you to get that return on your investment. So most of our ROIs today, I would say 80%+ of them have less than a year payback. And it's because we've scoped it in a way, and there's high certainty that we're gonna get there. So we've scoped it in the way that if we start to see that to get a ROI, you have to have five things happen on the savings front or growth front we start to scope it in a way that would say, hey, let's pick a different problem or let's tighten up the problem so you can see a faster ROI in the technology. So if you like, I could give a couple examples kind of in apparel, food, and fulfillment of kind of those single, you know, opportunities that generate the max ROI.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
So I think in the space of apparel, the number one lever that most retailers are looking at is sales lift, just because of omnichannel, right? So as you look at omnichannel, being able to take an order in the store or online, the need for inventory accuracy to fulfill online orders has become a substantial, almost table stakes to get in. So we have clear line of sight, and we can typically see in any pilot sales lift just by implementing RFID. And when you implement RFID, it's just because I know what I have and where I have it to better fulfill orders and then offer that to my customers. So most retail apparel owners know they had inventory inaccuracy issues or accuracy issues. So they would not show all items to a customer. There would be rules around if I have less than five of any single SKU, I won't actually show that online because I'm not sure if I have it. And I'd prefer not to make a promise to my customer that I have something and then disappoint them. So by deploying RFID, you have more confidence that you can actually show to your customer online all products that you have. So within apparel, I think the ROI is almost 100% around let's evaluate sales lift and we go category by category. In food, it's really been one of two things. It's time associated with inventory management. So the basic example is if you go into a grocery store and you look at about the amount of time an apparel clerk is reviewing expiration, right? Go to the cheese aisle, the yogurt aisle, the meat aisle. Someone there every day is looking at the package to see what's expired, what's about to expire to make a decision. So just purely reducing time, specifically in COVID where labor has been a challenge to find, just reducing time of doing inventory counts. And then the same thing is happening with sales lift as more grocery goes online. It was 2 to 3 points. And now we're seeing, because of COVID, it's up to 30 percentage points. So grocers are now saying, I have to have the same level of inventory accuracy to make promises of grocery items to my consumers. And then the other category I would say is in the logistics space. I kind of talked about this before, but most of the ROI has been tied around load optimization, getting more on the truck and faster loading. Those two seem to have clear ROI. And then the other one is those facilities doing any last mile fulfillment by deploying RFID and having visibility and moving products through your supply chain for last mile fulfillment. We've seen conservatively a 50% improvement of just getting more parcels through a facility by deploying RFID. So yep. They could kind of across the apparel, food, and fulfillment, you see all the ROIs are but different, but you won't see these five things need to happen. We really try to hone in around what category are you having the largest issue, and let's fix that one first and then slowly deploy the technology throughout your supply chain in additional categories.
Yep. And you know, you mentioned this concept of stepping back and understanding the problem before jumping to a solution, which I certainly appreciate. I know a lot of our founders would as well. What are the emerging technologies that one can compare and contrast with RFID, and where do you see all that shaping up in a landscape?
Sure. I think the most, the first one I would hit on is barcodes, right? That would say just not the traditional barcode, the QR code. You can now store more information in the QR code and they're more readable. So I think QR codes is definitely a technology that we still support and we still commercialize depending on the use case. I think probably the one that's emerging the fastest and most of your listeners will be reading something about is vision systems. So they've been around for some time in large logistics providers to do a vision of capturing barcodes at high speed. But now we're seeing that in grocers of using it as a way to do inventory accuracy. So you've got vision systems that are continuing to emerge. You've got weights, right? How can I use weight systems to understand, to do a correlation? If I've got this much weight, then I can make an assumption of I've got this much product, again, to help with inventory visibility. And then the other one I would just say with Industry 4.0, the amount of sensing and IoT kind of devices, and we're in the device world where you don't necessarily need to physically put an identity onto a product, but I can use a device that says, at this point, I printed a label that was going to go onto this product. So I know exactly what I had at this time, the kind of who, what, when, and where. So I think just IoT devices and the amount of information they're capturing is another technology they would say it is bringing more visibility to the supply chain. So from barcodes or specifically QR, vision systems, weights, kind of sensing space in general, I would say those are all the emerging technologies that when overlapped with RFID can make an even better solution. And sometimes you just use one of the technologies, but we're seeing more often it's not a one size fits all depending on the category of the use case. It could be a blend of technologies as well.
And does the underlying software, exhibit any differences or require any meaningful adjustments as you bring together different types of complementary sensing technologies?
That's a good question. I think I would answer that back. Yes, I think with RFID, you start to get to unique serial numbers. So the best way I can explain it for someone that maybe not have a lot of experience in the space is it's like our social security numbers here in the U.S. Because I know your social security number, I know where they were born, their birthday, a lot about them. Well, that's a lot of information I have to hold. And then I need to be able to use the cloud to be able to kind of give and take that. So I think the software requirements for RFID, because the amount of information are emerging. And I think we're seeing a lot more cloud computing and data harvesting so I can do something with that information versus a traditional barcode. I don't have all that information to do some of the heavy lifts around computing to do potential some machine learning to do predictive analysis. So I think the vision and RFID, those systems are starting to capture information at a level where I can do more, have more predictive type decisions be made where it doesn't necessarily need a user. And so the software has to develop with it.
Sure. That makes sense. That makes sense. And what have you seen, for the balance of 2020? Has there been a change in demand for RFID or similar solutions as supply chains have come under increasing stress and scrutiny?
Yeah, I think anyone who's in the supply chain field seems to be right now aggressively either implementing technology, including RFID, or at least heavily evaluating it. And there's just one, I'm not a big quote guy, but I would give one because it just came across today. It's a warehousing vision study. It said 61% of warehouse operators said they will augment people with technologies, and more than three quarters or 77% of decisions makers agree they need to modernize operations across the warehouse to remain competitive in the on-demand economy. So I think you could speak to, I think that shares with almost two-thirds to three-quarters of executives in the distribution space are saying, hey, COVID has pointed out problems in my supply chain that I think are going to be relevant going forward, either labor shortages or volume complexities of how volume's coming in. I think the biggest one I talk with is I used to distribute pallets. Now I distribute parcels. So one widget moving through my factory is now 40. That's caused me, a majority of all significant problems. How do I use technology to facilitate that? So I think the short answer is I think both this year and then maybe it was already a trend and then exacerbated by the global pandemic, we're seeing a lot more dialogue around the need for technology. I think a couple of the examples I would give is I think we probably all recall the shortage of toilet paper, right? And everyone's talked about, well, if we just had technology that showed visibility of how much we had and where it was at, there wouldn't have been a rush of hoarding that caused a lot of supply chain shortages that happened. So I think it's a really practical example of just if we had visibility that could be shared across the supply chain, how much more efficient could we have been with the use of our resources? In the same example I've used with some in another discussion was if you look at this new term called last mile fulfillment that we're all in. Historically, if you were buying a box of, just 5 years ago, maybe you're going to buy a box of cereal or a t-shirt, you were the last mile fulfillment. You drove your car to the store, you shopped and said, it's either this cereal or this t-shirt. You went and checked out and then you drove it home. So you were the warehouse worker in terms of picking it. And then you were the logistics driver driving it to your house. Well, now during COVID, almost 70% of that demand that was bought in store is now online for that short period of time. So that's that pallets, the parcel. So tech is required, right? 70% of the cost is still in that last mile fulfillment. It used to be funded by the consumer, kind of doing their own picking and moving. And now supply chains have to think about, as consumers get comfortable with buying things online and having it delivered to my house, how do I use technology? And I think that's why I wasn't surprised when I read the study around how many executives are thinking through how can we adapt, implement technology to create visibility so these shortages go away, or also just the amount of velocity coming through my supply chain. I've got to have technology to be able to adapt to that, to be able to compete going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's awesome, Ryan. Hey, it's been a great episode here. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing all of your perspective around RFID. But with that, hope to have you on here in the near future once again. Appreciate it. Cheers.
Yeah, thank you. Cheers.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a 5-star review and tell us what you liked. And be sure to head over to podcast.dynamo.vc to keep up to date with our latest content, or subscribe on the podcast platform of your choice. Until next time.